The makers of Dr. Straska's toothpaste offer this unconditional money-back guarantee. Go to your neighborhood druggist or any chain or department store. Buy a tube of Dr. Straska's toothpaste. Brush your teeth with it. After the very first brushing, look in the mirror. Run your tongue over your teeth. If they do not show a new whiteness, a new luster, if you don't feel a slick smoothness, if you're not more than satisfied in every way, your money will be promptly refunded. Just send the tube and the sales slip to the Straska Laboratories, care of this station. Have you ever heard any other toothpaste manufacturer make a more sweeping guarantee? And always remember, there's one best in everything. Rajput, internationally famous Hindu secret service agent. Before he continues his story, Rajput has an important gift announcement. Listen.
Did you know that over 500 prominent Americans, representing a typical group of the people who have been successful, have admitted without reserve that luck does play a tremendous part in human affairs? What is very significant is their belief that luck exerts a definite influence on life. And of all the charms and tokens which human experience has associated with good luck, the elephant is probably the most popular. What is more, the elephant is the only symbol that can claim a good luck history for over 2,000 years. As far back as that, the worshippers of Ganesh, the Hindu god of good luck, have carved out little elephants in honor of their deity. You ought to own one of these little elephant charms. Not until you hold it in your hands will you have any idea of how it works. At the close of my program tonight, your announcer will tell you how to secure one of these lucky elephants. When you receive it, keep it on your person. Never part with it. And watch the results.
Rajput is seeking to solve the Jasmine Tower murder, a case of great political importance. He finds that he has to deal with a sinister, powerful group of Malays. Several attempts are made on Rajput's life. Then an assistant, Williams, is attacked and his eardrums pierced. The next victim is to have his tongue cut out. The last episode closed with Rajput's finding Captain Napar, another assistant, crumpled in his chair. Now the story will be resumed by Rajput himself.
At the sight of Napar, my assistant, crumpled up in his chair, a cold terror seemed to freeze the blood in my veins. Had the circle of doom struck at him? I knew that the next victim was doomed to have his tongue cut out. I kept shouting, "Say something, man, say something." My assistant rose slowly to his feet. He sensed my fear, for he shook his head, smiled weakly, and called out, "Oh, there's nothing to worry about." Greatly relieved, I stared at him. "What has happened, Napar? Tell me." "This terrible menace of the Circle of Doom, sir. It has almost gotten me. I seem to feel that either you or Summers would be next. But whatever happens, we've got to see it through." I gripped his hand. There was no questioning his determination. "Good man, Napar. And now, I've something to show you." I took out the little idol from my tunic, the one I had removed from the apartment of the warden's widow. Coming close, Napar looked at the idol intently. "What is it?" "Well, this is something that has a bearing on this mystery. It's an image of the great idol in the Buddhist temple in Java. Look, around its head is a circlet of beads, and each bead is as red as a ruby. There are six. A circle of beads. That's the circle of doom, Napar. Six and a circle. Don't you see the coincidence? Five sentries and the warden, making a total of six victims. And here, in the idol's hands, It holds a leaf, a metal duplicate of the terrible leaf known as the Datura, from which the Malays extract the most deadly of poisons. Under the leaf, you will notice a tiny lamp. Were you to place a flame beneath a real Datura leaf, the vapor it would give off would kill the one who inhaled it within 10 seconds. The vapor of death, Napar. The vapor of death that killed the warden of the Jasmine Tower. The same vapor I am threatened with, unless I give up the case. Napar kept looking at me in amazement. I continued. Years ago, a Mughal emperor of India, the man whose treasures are guarded in the Jasmine Tower, stole the largest ruby from the original idol in the temple of Jaura. After a worldwide search, the priests of the temple discovered where the ruby was kept. Right here, in the chamber of jewels in the turret of the Jasmine Tower. I pointed to the domed building, clearly visible through the open window of my office. That is why the murderer, Napar, after killing the warden, ignored the vast treasures and was only concerned with the recovery of the ruby. I drew out my watch. It lacked but 2 minutes of 9 o'clock. According to Malay tradition, Napar, the ruby cannot be restored to its original setting until 6 more victims pay the penalty. 5 must be mutilated, and the 6th blotted out with the vapor of death. If my deductions are correct, something ought to happen when the clock in the Jasmine Tower strikes 9. In this city, there are hundreds of Malays. They need some sort of signal, some word from their leader. This signal is usually sent out at 9 o'clock of the night that the first victim is struck. I jumped to my feet and switched off the light. We sat in the darkness, watching the dimly lighted dial of the clock in the Jasmine Tower. The hands crept to 9 o'clock. The chimes pealed out. As the strokes rang out, I caught a glimpse of a shadowy figure near a window of the turret. At the last stroke of the hour, a light suddenly appeared in the tower. It winked on and off spasmodically. Someone was sending a signal. That was the signal. I counted the strokes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The circle of doom. Then I caught my breath in fear. What was that? I counted the strokes that now reverberated out into the night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was a message to the worshippers of the Malay sect. 6 victims were chosen. 1 had been struck down. 5 were left. Then I caught a full-face view of the signaler in the tower. Look, Napar, look. Who's that up there? Don't you recognize those features? It's the warden's widow. That confirms my suspicions. The woman is inspired by a religious mania. I haven't any doubt she helped to bring about her husband's tragic death. Whether she committed the crime remains to be seen. Let's see what else happens. We sat in the darkness of the office, tensely awaiting further developments. I could hear Captain Napar's labored breathing. There wasn't any doubt that my assistant was breaking under the strain. I could see the outline of his well-knit figure leaning against the other side of my desk. His eyes were fixed on the windows of the Jasmine Tower, from which the warden's widow had flashed the signal to her associates. I was the first to break the silence. An idea had suddenly struck me. As I turned to my assistant, a weird chorus of sounds came to us. It seemed like a religious chant. I caught a word here and there. It was a group of voices singing in Malay. Where in the world was it coming from? I cautioned Napar to sit still. Perhaps it was a trick to get us near the open window. I instructed my assistant to pick up the telephone and call Army headquarters. They were to hold themselves in readiness in case we should need them. If anything happened, they were to surround the building at once. The singing seemed just outside the window. It seemed to grow louder as I approached the window. Could it be a decoy? Suddenly, I stood rooted in my tracks. Was I losing my mind? The chant was coming from the wall, not from the street below. As I paused, tense, I could distinguish the words, Boro, Bodor, Boro, Bodor, the Malay words for the circle of doom. Over and over, the chanters repeated the phrase. By some curious condition of the air, we were hearing a ceremony of the Malays. They could not be far away. What was that? There was that gong again. I counted the beats. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Five victims were left. For the fraction of a second, there was a pause. Then that gong rang out again. Ghastly fear gripping my heart, I counted the beats. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Great heavens! Four victims were left. The circle of doom had struck again. Who could the next victim be? The sounds had died out completely. How did we hear that singing? It was weird, uncanny. Then a new sound startled us into action. Someone was staggering up the steps. I snatched up my automatic. Napar seemed to act like a man in a dream. He sat at the desk, breathing heavily. I stood behind the door. I could cover the man who entered. Whoever the visitor was had no desire to conceal his approach. Was it a trick to detract our attention from the real source of danger? The door opened. A man staggered in and with a groan collapsed to the floor. Napar sprang up. I rushed forward. We looked at him. It was the police commissioner, the man who had been set in charge of the Jasmine Tower till the new warden was appointed. Together, we carried the man to the couch. I struck a match and recoiled in horror as I saw the blood dripping from his mouth. The circle of doom had struck the second victim. The commissioner's tongue had been cut out. He would never speak again.
Who was the next victim marked by the circle of doom? Don't fail to hear the next episode. To get the lucky elephant charm which Rajput has told you about, do this. Go to your neighborhood druggist or any chain or department store and get a tube of Dr. Straska's toothpaste. Write your name and address on the inside of the empty pasteboard carton in which each tube is packed and send it, together with a stamped, self-addressed envelope, to Rajput, spelled R-A-J-P-U-T, care of this station. Your lucky elephant charm, just like the one Rajput has carried on his person throughout his Secret Service career, will be sent to you absolutely free. Rajput will now speak to you in his native tongue.
And may I close with the customary salutation of my country. Salam aur Naseeb. Good night, and may good fortune attend you.